Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on AFR. And thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and Steve Jordahl is here with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
We're doing pretty well.
Yeah?
Thank you for asking that, Steve.
I'm concerned.
Yes.
Yeah.
A human.
One look at me and you're concerned, right?
No, and just, it's the human thing to do.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
What do you got for us to lead off the news?
There's so many places we could go. Let us talk for a second. I want to go back to something that Beto O'Rourke said in...
We all do at some point in our life.
Right? during the CNN's town hall on all things homosexual, Beto talked about the tax-exempt status being in question if they didn't uphold the party line.
Not just in question, he wanted to remove it.
Right. We're going to hear about that, hear from him saying that in just a second. But Ben Sass, the senator from Nebraska, is introducing a bill to a resolution affirming the church the church biblical right to have a biblical view of marriage and kind of condemning Beto O'Rourke for that. So I want to play you, first of all, just to remind you, Beto, what he said about the church removing the tax-exempt status. Then I'm going to play some Ben Sass. This was from the floor of the Senate when he's introducing his bill. This is cut 9 and then 8.
This is from your LGBTQ plan, and here's what you write. This is a quote. Freedom of religion is a fundamental right, but it should not be used to discriminate. Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority, and we are going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans.
That was Beto. Now, Ben Sass has introduced a resolution condemning those remarks. This was him from the Senate floor Friday, I believe.
The five freedoms of the First Amendment, religion, speech, press, assembly, and protest, define who we are as a people and what we believe in common. And guess what? You can't separate these five. These five freedoms are all in the same amendment for a reason, because if one of them falls, they all fall. They stand or fall together. And you're a hypocrite if you pat yourself on the back for defending one of these five freedoms, and then the next day when another one is unpopular, saying, well, we don't need that one, we can throw it overboard. I don't care what some nitwit said on CNN last week to satisfy his fringy base and try to get a soundbite in a presidential debate. The American people ought to know that this body stands for the historic First Amendment. That's what we all took an oath to uphold and to defend, and that's what we ought to vote to affirm again.
I'm guessing that Ben is not going to be voting for Beto come any kind of election.
Well, good for him. That was Senator Ben Sass from Nebraska.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I listen. I like the fact that he called Beto O'Rourke or Robert O'Rourke a nitwit, because it was a nitwit thing to say. But even more than that, it was a dangerous thing to say, and that's why I believe there's at least some on the far left, it would be just fine with dictatorship.
What's her name? Warren? Elizabeth Warren. Pardon me. I had a memory lapse here for a minute. Elizabeth Warren, the senator there, and some considered front runner now, the Democrats, said she did say that she disagreed with Beto O'Rourke on that.
And so did Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
He did too?
He also said.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I mean, maybe they hold the same view that Beto O'Rourke does, but just don't want to say it. But publicly, they've said they disagreed. And that was kind of surprising for me to see, because it's with the LGBT, it's everything. You give them everything they want.
Or else. Right?
Or else. Everything they demand or want, right. You give it to them, or else. So, but in this case, they did. There was a line there, at least for some of them, that they said, you know, I'm not going to go there with Beto O'Rourke. All right, next story.
I heard you guys talking with Brian last hour about the troops in Syria and that he's taking, mm-hmm. he's kind of backing President Trump. I wanted to follow that and back that up with something that I heard that was very informative. Bill Hemmer last week, the Fox News reporter and host, was speaking with the White House spokesman Hogan Gidley. We don't often see Hogan, but he was talking about this topic, about why it was good, it was right for the president to withdraw the 50 or so troops.
Who is he again now?
Hogan Gidley is a spokesperson for the White House. Okay. He's President Trump's mouthpiece to the press, kind of like Kellyanne Conway is and
okay,
everything.
Gotcha.
And so I want you to hear, you're going to hear Bill Hemmer ask a question that you're going to hear Hogan's version of why the White House thought it was a good news to remove those troops. Cut one.
On the green light here, if you take 1,000 U.S. troops out of northeastern Syria, that clearly has given a lot of people the impression that that is the green light that Erdogan needed, because that buffer area is now removed of U.S. forces from the area. Can't you see how that impression would be given in this operation?
Well, yeah, if that were the truth, but that's not the truth. The fact is, we were told by President Erdogan he was going to move on the Kurds. Turkey is a NATO ally. We also have allies in the Kurds. But let's be clear about what happened here. The president was faced with a serious choice, and these are the decisions that this man has to make every day. With 28 troops standing between Turkey and advancing force into Syria to attack the Kurds, if Donald Trump had not made the decision to pull those people out of harm's way, out of the crossfire, and those 28 people had died, we'd be having a conversation that Donald Trump made a horrific decision when Erdogan warned him he was going in and 28 people are now dead. The fact is, the Democrats in this instance only want to attack the president because his name is Donald Trump. If this were any other president, President Smith, they'd be praising it as protecting the American soldiers in harm's way. And let's be clear, this attack was going to happen. Donald Trump made the prudent decision based on the information given by his generals and experts in the Middle East to get those people out of the way to protect their lives. He did that, and they will live to fight another day.
That was something, of course, that I had not heard from the mainstream media, that President Erdogan of Turkey had told President Trump of America, we're coming, and if your troops are in the way, someone could get hurt. And it was 28 troops, and I think the president did the right thing, even with all the other stuff that you can argue about and people have been arguing about, on even in the conservative community, about whether or not we should have troops over there and what we should do. It seems to me getting those special operations people out of there so that something... What if something accidental happened? A shell just around just landed.
He would be blamed.
He'd be blamed for it. And yeah. So,
the same people that are, you know, doing the criticism now. It's like the gentleman said there. It's President Trump. Whatever happens, if something happens negative, he's going to be blamed for it.
Right.
For a decision. So he has to.
This was Hogan Gidley. You said.
Yeah.
What he said is, he's being blamed because his name is Donald Trump.
Right.
If it was anybody else, President Smith, they would be applauding the wisdom of that move.
You know what? You think about, we had Brian Fisher on talking about this earlier. What really are our national interests in Syria? Really? I mean, really, think about this. Okay, we're supporting the Kurds, right?
Well, initially, I think it was to get rid of ISIS.
Yeah, to get rid of ISIS. But we've been there now, how many years? At least 5, 6, 7 years? Something like that?
I think 10 was the number I heard.
Well, 10 years? Yeah, it was under the Obama administration.
And it was only supposed to be for like a few weeks or something
right.
like that when it initially started. So, you know, with the president, he did, as Brian said, he did promise to bring our troops home from around the world on these... endless missions of war to try to bring peace and stability. And there's a lot of information that presidents are privy to that the average person isn't. And he can't always say, I did this because this was about to happen. You know, you can't. You know what I'm saying?
You can't tell the media that.
No, you can't tell the media that. So, in Afghanistan, you know, I'm glad we out of there
no.
yet. That's, you know, you're going to be fighting the Taliban till the rapture,
right?
You know,
you'd have to invade Pakistan too to get rid of the Taliban. You're just not going to get rid of them.
No, you're not. And you know, they're like ants.
And remember, we used to be allies of the Taliban. The Taliban and us during the Russian invasion of Afghanistan in the 80s. They were the Kurds.
Right.
Yeah. They were the Kurds of the day.
And you know what? Furthermore, you're never going to bring a change to that part of the world unless you Christianized them. Right? Unless you evangelized them.
Right.
You're not going to bring, as Brian noted in there, you have the people who have Islamic worldviews, and they've been fighting forever, and they will continue to. And it's very tribal as well. And so do we want to get into a full-fledged fight with Turkey?
No, we are both in NATO. We're NATO allies. what a catastrophe, a political and a military catastrophe that would be to get in a hot war with Turkey.
Over Syria. All right, you're listening to today's issues. You got so many players there. You got Russia, you got Syria, you got Assad, you got Erdogan, the president of Turkey. You got the Kurds who are a people without a sovereign nation, yet they inhabit three countries.
There's four actually, part of Iran, who's another player in this. Russia, did you mention Russia?
Yeah, Russia.
The Russians are involved, you know, this Yeah. This is how world wars get started. Yeah. You've said that, Tim, on this show. That's how world wars get started.
And then the Brazilians are in there.
Yeah.
You know, they're in there too, putting up steakhouses and things of that nature. So it's a mess over there.
It is complicated, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you got next, Steve?
The transgender issue is kind of front and center in the news as we hear different people shouting for transgender rights. I was just reading this morning, 2 years ago, in fact, the UN talked about the desire for all of their documents to refer to pregnant people instead of pregnant women when dealing with the issue because you don't want to offend trans people. It's really built on a house of cards. And today, reality is kind of setting in that you can't fool nature or computers. This is a study they did. Researchers gathered 2,400 images from Instagram of women, men, trans women, which is the term the world uses for a man who wants to be a woman, and trans men, which is the term that they use for a woman who wants to be a man, and then non-binary or queer or all these different words. And they had their facial recognition systems take a look and see if they could identify them. Well, with normal men and women, the recognition system got the gender correct 98% of the time.
Okay.
Researchers found that trans men, or these are women who want to be men, were wrongly categorized 30% of the time, and the tools fared far worse with what are called non-binary, or just kind of in the middle, or just strangely gendered people. And so now the left is kind of upset and say we can't use this facial recognition system because it's biased.
So the computer software, the facial recognition software that's being used, are bigoted.
Yes,
because they typically recognize a woman as a woman, as is a woman.
Right.
No matter what the woman claims to be,
or what makeup she wears.
All right. So this is like you said. This is proof that just because to your introductory comments, just because someone says pregnant women, because everybody knows men can't get pregnant. Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're a bigot, and software can't be bigoted.
I was amused to see the other day when I think it was probably the UK, out of the UK, trumpeted a headline, "Man Gives Birth," in a world first. It was like a scientific breakthrough. And it wasn't. It was a woman who wanted to be a man and was right. called a man by the world, and it gave birth. And so the real headline was, "Woman Gives Birth." And I'm thinking, yeah.
That's what they've been doing for thousands of years.
I know, just saying.
And only in the last 5 minutes have we been saying that was a man who gave birth.
Yeah, so so I don't know. We're gonna the jury is out on how we're going to use this, and the jury is still out, actually, on how invasive this facial recognition software is. Do we want, regardless of gender issues, do we want the computers telling law enforcement who's who all the time? They can track us pretty much everywhere. But what is almost without dispute is that soon science comes up against the prevalent view of the day of sexuality. Science is going to win.
Yeah.
It can't help. Truth will out. You can decide you don't believe in the law of gravity all you want.
Right.
But when you step off a building, you're going down, not up.
That's right. And by the way, this facial recognition is coming. That's coming. And yeah. It's going to run up against the Constitution, too, not just biology, because my understanding is that at this point, they make a lot of mistakes, this software. So you're going to get people arrested because facial recognition software says you're this criminal over here. So I don't know what happens.
But we've always used fingerprinting.
Yeah, but that's not wrong.
Fingerprinting is 100% accurate.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, you're saying facial recognition would be 90.
Yeah. So you might get people arrested because we think you're the FBI's most wanted list, and you're
they're going to have to. But
they probably will get it close to perfect, but. That's at least initially.
When we came a couple times in the last year, when Allison, my wife, and I have traveled internationally, we've come back into the States and had to go through passport control.
Mm-hmm.
I've used the facial recognition at the. You can bypass.
Right.
It's coming. I mean, they're getting very good with it.
But do you put your passport in there and then it looks at your picture?
Right.
Which I had given to them previously, and it confirmed that I was who I was.
Here's the other thing, though, about that is that you gave them permission to do that.
Yes, I did.
See, and fingerprints, the police aren't looking at security cameras and doorbell cameras and following your fingerprint everywhere you go. With the way that computers can work now, you haven't done a thing wrong, and they will know every time you go down Elm Street because the doorbell picked you up. They can follow you with facial recognition systems, and they really can't follow you with fingerprints.
Right. Anyway, it's a whole new world, so we could probably do a whole week's worth of shows on the subject. But
shall we?
We're not going to do that now. Moving right along.
Sad news, kind of bad news. The youth suicide rate in the U.S. has increased. It is now that the homicide rate is lower than the suicide rate. A youth from age 10 to 24 is more likely to take his own life than to have his life taken. And they're not sure. They're looking at why today's millennial generation and Gen Z don't have the same, they do not have the same foundations of worldview that older generations had. We've taken truth and the ability to know and live truth away from them, and it's causing some despair.
Maybe more despair. I would also just guess that they are less connected to other people.
Yes.
So you know, when we all grew up, we're all roughly in the same age. Steve, I'm not sure how you're in your 50s.
Yes, well into my 50s.
Okay. All right. So we all kind of grew up the same generation. Kind of thing. I'm just a little few years older than you guys, but we had all these connections for the most part. We had family, we had friends, kids at school. I didn't grow up in church, but you guys grew up with other Christians, so you had all those church connections. Now you see so many young people, it's all social media.
Yeah.
You've got to have people in your life. I'm wondering if they're just lonely too.
How much has a suicide
was it 56% increase or something?
Yeah, it was from when to when? 56 between 2007 and 17. So they don't have updated. They don't 18 or 19.
And they don't say what the study found the reasons for
this. No, the study is a
That's a numerical study. That's a 10-year period. In one decade,
yeah,
the suicide rate amongst teenagers, was it?
Has 10 to 24.
10 to 24 has gone up 56%?
Yes.
In you know a decade. What that's tragic.
And it's tripled among 10 to 14-year-olds. Yeah. So this is
wow. I'm going to, since we're just guessing, making an educated guess on this, I'm going to say the breakdown of the family. Right.
Right.
The breakdown of the family, number one. And to go along with that would be social media.
Right.
You know, once something's here, you know, to say it makes you better or worse, it's almost a moot point because it does. Well, it's not necessarily a moot point to criticize it because it's just the old expression, it is what it is. It's out there. It controls so much of our, especially our young people.
Right.
But social media, Facebook, the bullying, the shaming,
that's true.
The criticizing. You take a fragile 15, I don't even care if you're fragile or not.
Yeah.
You take a 14, 13, 12-year-old, and they get, that starts happening to them on social media.
Yes, good point.
It can ruin them.
Huh? I was just talking about the loneliness of being on social media and not being connected, but you're right. The abuse that these young people take, and a lot of them keep it to themselves. They don't tell adults. They don't tell people.
Right. So I mean, there's just I would say. The advent or the explosion of social media has probably contributed to that number going up because, you know,
that would fit in terms of when social media took off.
And think about it, suicide, while yes, sometimes it's well thought out, I would say probably among adults, I say well thought out, anybody who would commit suicide is...
I mean, they plan it.
They've planned it. For adults, you hear about that sometimes, don't you? They committed suicide and they've been planning it a while.
Yeah.
But with teenagers, I'm gonna say it's more instantaneous, more in the moment.
Impulsive.
By moment, impulsive, maybe a few days, something happens and they think their life is over.
Yeah.
They have no perspective.
Right.
And you know, they... OD on drugs, or they hang themselves, or shoot themselves, or something.
To that point, almost every time you see a teenager in a school commit suicide, horrifically, three or four others you will usually follow in that community.
Yeah,
right.
It's giving them permission. They see whatever. It's sad.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Got a minute left?
Yeah, please. Let's just lighten things up here.
Let's do it.
The dreaded Yankees are not going to be in the World Series after they
Happy
got walked
days
off.
Are here again.
I'm telling you, fellas, a lot of people love the Yankees.
I'm a Red Sox fan. Well, then respect our listeners who are Yankees fans, I am rejoicing.
I am an A's fan, and you know the A's have been the minor league affiliate of the New York Yankees for decades.
Duly noted.
So congratulations to the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals.
Nationals.
That's their
first
trip, right?
It is.
The Washington Nationals, they were formerly the Montreal Expos of yesteryear.
Right.
But they've not been to the World Series since they've been in Washington.
Back in the day, the saying was, Washington, first in peace, last in the American League.
They're the National League.
Well, now they're the National League.
They're the National League representative. Play the Astros, who...
Congratulations to those two cities.
Ironically, the teams. Astros used to be forever in the National League.
Yes.
True.
Now they're in they're in the American League. All right, folks, have a great day. Keep listening to AFR, and we shall see you again tomorrow. Happy birthday to Walker Wildman, by the way.
Woo!